Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time with us or you have been here your whole life, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive your questions or your concerns. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars. You can learn more about the ways in which we here at Gates Presbyterian Church are church together through worship and mission, Christian education, and all sorts of different kinds of opportunities. So take a look at those, and we have many announcements as well this morning, so we'll get started. Tom, you're right there.
Good morning. Just quickly to remind you that if you bought flowers from the Guatemala Mission Group, they'll be ready for pickup Tuesday morning after 9:30. And thank you very much for your support.
Anne Marie?
Good morning. Today is the Crop Walk, and Crop means communities responding to overcome poverty. And it's being sponsored by the Church World Services, and many churches locally will be involved in this walk. There are a few of us here at church that will be walking, and we want to thank all those who have sponsored us, but we're still looking for more sponsors, and it's not too late to walk either. So we'll be at the foyer after church, so come and see one of us. Thank you.
Here.
Good morning. I just want to thank everyone, young and old, that came out to the cleanup yesterday. And I mean, there was a lot of young kids. I didn't even get a count, but there was more than I've ever seen. They did a great job. The place looks great. You guys did a great job. We thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
And thank you for everybody that helped Gary to prepare the church then for the spaghetti dinner that was last night. Thanks to all who answered emails and phone calls and just showed up when they could yesterday. Everything went very smoothly. We do have items for sale, so if you weren't able to enjoy the spaghetti dinner or you liked it, then you can have more spaghetti dinner. I also wanted to let you know we did take any of the cooked spaghetti, meatballs, and sauce down to Open Door, and they were very appreciative to receive 5 or 6 pans of spaghetti. So that was another community that was served. So thank you very much.
Carolyn?
Youth group tonight, 6 to 9, junior and senior highs.
That was the best kind of announcement right there. And as many of you all have noticed, we are celebrating this morning at the table and partaking the sacrament of communion. The table is open, and we try to be as welcoming and inclusive of the table as possible. If you do have any allergies or gluten sensitivity, there are wafers in little bags for you to partake and celebrate with us. And now, let us worship God together. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. We come together this day, drawn by the light of God's love. In God's eternal kingdom, darkness and despair are vanquished. In God's eternal realm, peace and hope reign.
Let all the people praise God with their music and their voices.
Let all the people praise God with their deeds and loving kindness.
Praise be to God.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Generous God, you offer your love freely to us. You entrust your goodness to us. We receive these gifts from you, yet we do not always share this generosity with others. We close our hearts, tune out your voice, and refuse to invite you into the many places of our lives. May your grace prevail upon us this day and always. Please take a moment for silent confession. Believe this good news deep within your hearts. God accepts and forgives us. This love has the power to free our spirit and bring us peace. Thanks be to God.
children to come forward. Know that in 2 weeks here at church we're going to be celebrating Pentecost? It's crazy. Where did the time go? And if you don't know about Pentecost, that is when God sent God's Spirit in a really big way to Jesus' disciples. The disciples describe it as a big rush of wind. Have any of you ever been outside here in Rochester when it gets really, really windy? What do you do? Do you stand out in the wind and go, whoa, it's really big. It almost feels like it could blow you away. Sometimes we can experience God's presence in really big ways, like a rush of wind. And sometimes we experience God's presence really, really quiet ways. Do you guys have a quiet voice? Can you show me? Let me hear your quiet voice. Can I hear it? Say hello, quiet voice. Oh, see, you guys do have quiet voices. Got that, moms and dads? They exist. Quiet voices. Sometimes God speaks to us in very quiet ways. Our story this morning from Acts, we have God speaking to two people in very quiet ways. The first way, through Paul in a dream. Paul listened to what God wanted for him in a dream. And the other was a woman named Lydia. And Lydia heard God's voice through Paul. Have you ever heard God's voice through a friend? It can happen, but we have to be listening very carefully to hear and see and experience God's love in the really, really big ways and in the really, really quiet ways. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Dear God, help us to be good listeners so we can learn more about you. Amen. Have fun in your Sunday school classes this morning. Have fun. Thank you. Oh, good job.
The first reading of the word today is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
And we continue through the book of Acts.
this Sunday in our second scripture reading this morning, which in the bulletin is listed Acts 16:9-15, but I'm going to back us up a few verses. It's helpful to hear these. When Paul and the disciples went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day in Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Paul and Lydia are an unlikely pair, brought together by an even more improbable circumstance. Now, we know plenty about Paul, once known as Saul of Tarsus, who before his conversion was infamous for wreaking havoc, persecuting, and going so far in his religious zeal to murder those who were followers of Christ. It was in a vision on the road to Damascus that Saul first saw the bright light, heard the Lord speak to him, and was literally blinded by the whole experience. Eventually, he recovered his sight, and with a quick name change to Paul, begins to teach with the other disciples. They travel in and around Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news that through Jesus, God's promises are fulfilled. So Paul and these other disciples establish what theologian Marcus Borg calls Christ communities in places like Cyprus, Antioch, and Persia. More of the same happens in Iconium and Lystra. Paul develops quite a reputation for his fearless teaching about Jesus to the Jews and to the Gentiles. But all this fame did not come without a price. In the first vision he received from God, it was never mentioned that leaving his old life behind and following Jesus was going to be easy. Paul's growing in his passion, in his enthusiasm, and is becoming well known for teaching the gospel. But that's only going to get him so far. There are still plenty of people who don't want to hear the good news, let alone begin to living a life on the other side and embracing it. So Paul found himself on the other side of the persecution and was thrown in jail a few times. The difficulties that Paul faced did not deter him, because Paul really believed about what Jesus taught and what he preached, that this really was the way in which God wanted him and others to live. His letters we have, making up the rest of the New Testament, to the communities and congregations he started himself or visited, are evidence of this. His letters also give us a unique and first-hand account into what some might refer to as the shortcomings or the challenges of Paul's personality and beliefs. I'm sure you've either read them yourself or perhaps had a Bible-thumping experience with some that included these puritanical, moralistic preoccupations with sin, guilt, gender, and sex. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to back up into Luke's telling, where we are in the scripture this morning, of Paul's journey in Acts, chapter 16. He's on a roll. He's got his next stops all planned out. And that's where the story picks up this morning. And then it happens. Another vision from God. Paul knows not to mess around with these visions. They change things. They've changed him. And so all these places that Paul has mapped out in his mind are replaced by this vision that God shows him of a man in Macedonia who needs his help. So Paul and Timothy, Silas, and the author of Acts, who we assume is Luke, head out to the Roman colony of Philippi. And after they've been there for a few days, the group of men head outside of the city gate on the Sabbath, supposing that there would be a place there for prayer. Scholars dispute whether there would have been an actual synagogue on or around that place. All we know is that there are no other men gathered in this lush, meadow-like landscape pictured in your mind, divided by a small stream of water flowing through. We don't know what Paul made of or said to this group of women. God's vision for him, after all, revealed a man in need of help. And here is this group of women sitting down next to the stream in prayer. And since Paul is not necessarily known for his fair treatment of women, he must have been wondering what God had in mind for him there that day. These women don't appear to need any help. One woman in particular that he converses with did not need his help. Though little is known about Lydia, what the author of Acts includes for us in these details indicates that she was the opposite of helpless, as women come in that time. She is independently wealthy, a businesswoman who rubs elbows with the upper echelon in the exceedingly patriarchal Roman Empire. She needs nothing, relies on no one. There is no man, no husband for her to be subject. But the text also describes Lydia as a worshiper of God. No matter how self-reliant and successful she may be, Lydia is gathered here in her community with this deeper ache in her core that draws her to explore God's presence in her life. I don't believe that Lydia was really looking for anyone else in particular to help her grow in that faith. For all we know, she may have been content to find God on her own there in nature, like so many today profess to do. Yet something about what Paul said and what God did opened her heart to hear the gospel. When we think about these two people in the larger biblical context, it is a meeting that almost didn't happen. Two people whose paths cross only by the Holy Spirit opening their hearts, and in their meeting together that day, they hear God speaking through one another. Have you ever had a moment like this? Perhaps you were Paul, with your plans all made out about how the day was going to go, how your life was going to be. Everything set out all in a row. And then something derails those plans and sets you on a different direction. Somewhere along the way, you cross paths with a person you may not have met had those plans not changed. You may not have even been aware of something you said or a way that you lived your life of faith in their presence, but you help them encounter the love of God. Perhaps you were Lydia, hardworking, earning your place in the world, not relying on anyone else to get things done. You had it all. Everyone thought you had it all. But deep inside there was this ache, this longing, this hunger for something more. And God stirred that restlessness in you for deeper meaning. And you come across an unlikely person, someone who inspires something in you that can only be described as the work of God. Something new opens up in you, and you are somehow changed. No matter how fleeting the moment or how insignificant the other person may have thought the interaction was, it somehow changed you. These moments can happen at any point in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit creates these possibilities, and we don't always know the difference we might make in someone else's life. I had no idea the Holy Spirit would set me on such a path. All I knew was I was mad. I was mad at my mom and my dad for moving us across town when I was in fifth grade. New neighborhood, new school, new house. I had to make new friends. Thankfully, we were still attending the same church. So my anger softened a bit on that first day as we were moving everything into the house, and I saw a girl two houses down. She was about my age. We got together, and she's telling me all about the new school, the teachers that were the best and the ones to avoid. I told her about my church. I told her she should come sometime, kind of like a kid would invite another to play on the monkey bars, rather than the discomfort most of us feel in sharing anything religious with someone we may not know. And it was a few years before my new friend took me up on this invitation. And by that time, we were in junior high, had gone separate ways with separate friends, but I saw her every Sunday at youth group. And then I started to notice that she and her parents were in worship. After we graduated from high school, we lost touch. And I hadn't given much thought at all to that friendship until my first year as a pastor, serving in a church not too far from where we grew up. I got a letter in the mail from her. She congratulated me on my new call and then went on to write. She thanked me for bringing her to church when we were kids. Because of that invitation, she and her family learned about the love of God and life of faith expressed in community. She concluded her letter by saying, "No matter where I go in life, I make sure to have a church family alongside me for this journey. God worked through you, Melissa. Thank you." I was a fifth grader. These moments of intersection between our created self and divine initiation are like the incarnation itself, at once fully human and fully divine. Like Lydia, we are astonished. When looking back, we can only say that our steps were guided and our hearts opened by God. Like Paul, we can see that even when things didn't work out the way that we thought they would, God's hand was guiding us to where we needed to be. And God is speaking to us still. Today, I am sure that each and every one of you can recall one person in your life who said or did something that helped you encounter the love of God. And whether we know it or not, God has used you in a way that when someone's heart was open, they grew in faith by your witness. It might seem on the surface like unlikely people in improbable circumstances, but it is there that God speaks and invites us to turn our lives around like Paul did and pay attention to the restless hunger for more of God's love in our lives like Lydia did. And all God asks is for us simply to be the amazing, gifted, holy people that we are, so that others might come to know this powerful, life-changing story, and our hearts might be opened, so that their hearts might be opened, and so the world might be changed. One person at a time. Starting with me, starting with you, and you, and you. Right here, right now. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Friends, we continue to live as Easter people, celebrating and living a life that proclaims the good news of resurrection. Come now to the feast of life that satisfies our deepest hunger. Come to the table, for our risen Lord is waiting with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
God of all beginnings, you spoke a word. Your Spirit acted, calling forth the first heaven and the first earth. Rivers teeming with life flowed to the seas. Holiness roamed the hills and valleys. Peace was planted in the heart of creation. Though your children created in your image, you made the promise to be our God. We heard sin and death calling to us and crossed the boundary into their power. You did not turn your face away from us, but longing to be gracious to us, you sent your messengers to invite us back to your heart, where we might live. When we continued in our foolish ways, you sent Jesus to us in your name to remind us of all the promises you have made. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, holy, holy God, God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, who meets us along the river, places of prayer, in our homes and our everyday lives. Hearing our cries for help in the dark nights of the soul, you sent your Son Jesus to bring the light of your love, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend of sinners. He shared your feast waiting, along with the world, for justice, renewal, and new life. His life, his words, his death, his resurrection are mysteries we may not understand completely, but which we will proclaim with faith. Christ died,
witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Here at this table of grace and wonder, where the simple gifts you have prepared are set aside for sacred use, your Spirit is poured out upon them, and your children gather in this place of prayer. As we eat of the bread broken for us, we feast on the promises that one day pain will be no more, that our tears will mingle with the waters of life. As we drink deeply from the cup of peace, we are filled with the joy of your grace, and hearing the cries of those around us, we go forth to serve them with your hope and justice. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours. God of new life, with the Holy Spirit and your holy people on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and made it holy as he takes common people like us and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again. And he did by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took his cup and the wine and he poured it. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
We break this bread and we drink from this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life, and for faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Friends, this is the body of Christ, broken for each of us, that our hunger for hope, love, salvation, community may be met together in this meal. Thanks be to God.
And Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me.
Join with me in prayer. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be the bearers of good news, where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Before we begin, I'd like to take this moment to do an announcement and redo. Youth group tonight, 6 to 8, not 6 to 9. Thank you. I invite you to share your prayers of joy and prayers of concern.
Diane Keeling. I just want to thank everybody for saying prayers for my dad. He had a setback, though, from a stroke. He had a bleed in his abdomen, so they had to take him from St. Mary's to Park Ridge. He's still there. Then I took my mom to the doctors, and she's got fluid in her lungs, suggestive of congestive heart failure. So I'm a little stressed, but we did get up to the hospital for my mom's birthday, and it was nice. My kids did a great job celebrating, so I think she at least was able to get out and have a little bit of a celebration. So please, continued prayers.
Andrea Unson, just asking prayers for all the students that are taking AP and IB exams this month. Thanks.
Tammy Tackling, my stepfather's brother died last night. He's been battling cancer for over the past year. So prayers for their family.
Thanks. Earlier this morning, a very gentle soul and a giant of a man passed quietly into the next world. At 93 years old, Elliot Landsman had lived a full and fulfilling life. He was the founder of the company Landsman Development that Irene works for. Just a very generous man, and he'll be greatly missed. So prayers for his family and his many friends.
Ginny Marley, I ask your prayers. Tomorrow morning I go into the hospital for thyroid surgery. Thank you.
Rick.
While they're making their way around, if you have prayer concerns, stick that hand up high so the ushers can see it. Prayers from our children. Prayers of joy for a new baby brother. Well, that could be concern. It doesn't say, so we'll pray for both. This is a prayer of joy for a mom's birthday and prayers for successful dance recitals and for spring music concerts coming up.
Hi, Cam Mossgraver. I have so many, but I'm going to limit it this morning because a great prayer of joy for what a beautiful day we're going to have to walk for crop. But something that wasn't mentioned, 25% of that money does stay here in Rochester, and it's going to fund a program that's very near and dear to my heart. It's a fund that feeds 80 children over the weekend, and 80 children in the city receive a bag of food, which for us doesn't sound like a lot, but a jar of peanut butter, a can of tuna fish, box of macaroni and cheese, some soy milk, a box of dry cereal, some oatmeal, maybe a can of vegetables, SpaghettiOs, with the purpose in mind that it's going to feed the children for the weekend because they don't get two free meals during the week, during the weekend as they do at school. So this program's helped supplement these children. And the walk today will support that program, and maybe next year we'll be able to feed 100 children. Mm-hmm. And thank you for everyone who's supporting the walkers. And come out and join us. It's a fun day, and it's in a great neighborhood, too. Mm-hmm. It's over in the 19th Ward. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cam.
Two prayers. A continued prayer for my friend Tom. I've mentioned him before. He won't be around much longer, but he's doing pretty well. Prayers of strength and for his family and him in his last days. But he's doing well, so those prayers are working so far, I think. A second prayer, a friend of mine at work fell from a tree the other night in Henrietta, broke his back, punctured his lung, and several things. At the time, he's paralyzed from the waist down. It was just below his abdomen as he cracked his couple vertebrae. They've done surgery, and they don't know if the paralysis is permanent or just from the trauma. But prayers for Charlie Gurnan, his name is. He's worked with me for many years. Continue to help that he has a full recovery. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cam, for that mention about crop. I just realized as I left the pulpit, I forgot to mention that 25% of the proceeds goes to SWEM. Thank you.
Let us pray. Inviting God, you open your arms and invite us to your table. We praise you that your inclusive hospitality welcomes us in ways that renew and restore us to be your loving people. We yearn to receive your children as you do, accepting completely. Yet we confess that sometimes we prejudge, predetermine, presuppose, and we restrict our own hospitality. Open our hearts, O God, to the beauty of your world. Help us to see diversity as part of your creation. Remind us that we can discover you within the very people we sometimes reject. God of the universe, you call us to care for each other, to love, not to loathe, to feed, not to fight, to heal, not to hurt. Help us, O God. Blow your spirit of peace upon us. Help us to stay focused on your call. Remind us that borders and territories are artificially drawn lines upon your world, that we are all your children. And this morning we lift up prayers for peace in the Middle East as we hear of the rising tensions between Israel and Syria. And we pray for those we love going through difficult times, for those who are battling addictions, and those who mourn lost loved ones, and those who fight illness, and also for those who seek employment. We ask you to hear our silent prayers. Hear us now, as together we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Dear Lord, it is so easy to praise you when the sun is shining, when spring is here, when the kids are laughing. Remind us that somewhere, maybe near or farther away, we need to be that laughter and sunshine for others. Please use our gifts to bring blue skies to those who need it, and remind us all that because of you, blessings abound. Amen.
Thank you.
May our hearts, our ears, our very lives be open to the ways that God is speaking to each of us. Go. Go with that grace and love of God in each of your hearts. And may the peace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Alleluia. Amen.